You know, when I thought about what to talk about this morning, I had several thoughts, and I prayed about that because not being the wisest man in the world, you know, I need a little help. But this is what I was led to talk about, and it sounds at first like a horrible story of what's to happen in the world. But you know, the end of it is that God's word will prevail in the world. You know, we hear the rumors of wars. We see wars. We've been attacked ourselves. God said, don't worry about it. Go about your business. Everything is in hand. But he also, I think, one of the most important things he tells us here is, be careful about what we do believe. You know, every person that speaks does not have our best interest at hand. You know, if you get on the internet, television, you can find a thousand different stories covering anything of Christianity, Judaism, or anything else. But there is a way that Christian people have not to be misled. You know, we hear much talk in the scriptures and in church of the Holy Spirit. But God has also provided us with another, the Spirit of truth. And you know that we as people, all the things that we hear, we read, we see, the things that are thrown at us, how do we differentiate between the things that are true and not true? You know, if we hear a man says he comes in the name of the Lord, you know, most of the time we take that as a truth. But all do not. All do not do that. And at this time in our life, in the church and everywhere else, it is the thing we have to be careful about. You know, I don't talk about other people's religions. That's their business, you know, but I speak of ours. And it is an important thing. And I'll tell you just how important this can be. If we can say things offhandedly, but we don't know who is listening to that or what they might think that we about what we say. I'll give you a prime example of that happened to me. My youngest grandson was several years ago, and he was sitting in my lap talking to me. He had his hand on my head, and he felt this hole up here where I had surgery. Yeah, he asked me what that was. Well, being real intelligent, I told him that's where I was shot. And I said, feel this one back here. That's where the bullet came out, you know. Well, I didn't think too much about it, but 2 weeks later, his mother called me. She said, what did you tell Brandon? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, in Sunday school class at church, he had the Sunday school class pray for his papa who had been shot in the head. So, you see, it is things we need to be careful about what we say. And because people are listening. They are. You know, in the book of Revelations, in my Bible, the very last part of it, and I've always thought it should be the first, because it gives a warning about talking about it. Be sure you know what you're talking about before you do it. Because there's consequences if you don't. Not only for yourself, but other people. You know, I hear lots of people talk that, you know, the end of the world, that this will happen, and the world will all be destroyed. But according to the scripture, that's not true. And I will say this out of Revelation, because I thought about it real seriously. But I think it's in the 11th chapter, about the 18th verse. And all the tragedies and all the stuff that's going on, destruction, God has enough. He says, let's go. It's time to destroy those who would destroy the earth. Very little work, but it's the promise. You see, we think that we have the ability to do these things. And man's inhumanity to man is unreal. Think about crashing an airplane into a building, an airplane loaded with people, into another building. What produces such hatred? But you know, when I think about, you know, from my own personal view, see that now people that are really close to you, it's easy to love those, you know. But those that aren't so nice, it's easier to hate than it is to love. Love is a hard thing to do to people that don't love you. You know, I bought myself a Koran when all this stuff started. I wanted to see, you know, this is why people would do such things and say they do this in the name of God, you know. And I thought, this doesn't add up. And I found several things in there that really disturbed me. And hopefully all people of the Muslim persuasion are not that way. But a lot are. You know that if you travel around the world much, out of this country, you know, you really feel it some places you go. And of the really countries that should be close to us, I think the one that's probably the most prevalent you feel it is France. It's almost a hatred. And you know, I can't understand why, but people do. I don't know their reasons, but it's so easy to hate. It's easy to covet what belongs to another person. But these things that Jesus is talking about, that you won't have people tell you, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. You know, I can't take it upon myself to tell people. See, we have to pray. That's why we have to pray, have a personal relationship with God. I need it. Everybody else needs it. You know, I could be so arrogant as to say, well, you know, God tells everybody to do the same thing he tells me to do. Well, that's not true. I don't know what God has for other people's life. He has a plan for each life. He has one for mine when he can get my attention. And that's true. You know, really, it's true. I think about it. How many times do you tune God out? I don't have time to listen to you. Well, I got more important things to do. But do we? You see, there's nothing more important than your soul or your spirit. And that's why that God has given us the spirit of truth. And believe me, you know the truth. You ask him, you'll know. And you see, because God didn't just throw us out here and leave us to chance. You know, now I might do that. You know, I could very well do that. Probably have done it before. But God does not do that. And he has a plan for each of us, whether we're good looking, ugly, big, small, whatever. And that's unimportant. Because you see, when Jesus chose his disciples, look at the people that he chose. Fisherman, tax collector, you know, most hated man in the country. I mean, the most despised man of his time. Collected money from the Israelites, gave it to the Romans. He was really despised. God chose him. Come follow me, and he did. But he takes people from all walks of life. So, what I do, if I talk to people about God, I go here. Y'all like to get over in the four Gospels. It's where I try to go, because this is Jesus speaking. It's not what I might add to it or take away. This is what Jesus said. Everything is right. You know, he told them when they walked down, he said, this temple will be down. There'll be not a stone left. There's not a stone left. You know, I was born in 1938. They were fighting then, and they never stopped since I've been alive. Been constant. Earthquakes, the famines. He said these things have always been and they always will be. But when they reach a certain point, you know that this is the beginning of a new age. Now, have a lot of people will say, and I personally believe this is my personal belief, that this new age began in 1948. Why do I say that? That is because from about 70 AD until then, there was no Israel. It was not a country. 1948, it became one. You know, when I was back in the 50s, was a song was sang by this group called the Kingston Trio. It's called the Merry Minuet. I'm not going to try to sing it, but I'll recite it. But it was about the world situation. And it started off, it said, there's rioting in Africa, strife in Iran, hurricanes in Florida, and Texas need rain. But the whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans hate the Poles, Italians hate the Yugoslavs, South Africans hate the Dutch. I don't like anybody very much. So, you know, you think about that. It's not too far off, you know. But we have to live in this world. And you see, we can change this world. We can change it for the better. Or we can let it go. Let it take its own head. And I think we all know where we'll be headed. Now, you know, most of us are just regular people. No, we're not great, outstanding people. You see, when Christ picked his disciples, he was setting an example of what we're to do. And he said, well, the 12, they were there with him, but his spirit's still with us. You know, when we pray, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you can't say that Jesus Christ is the Lord without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. And that's an amazing thing. That's the comforter that goes with us. You know, see, I think we want things that we can touch. But God is not that way. You know, I've seen people for years, they go on, you know, and they have the big discussions, controversies about the shroud of Turin. Nobody can prove whether it is or it isn't. People try to find Noah's Ark. They look and look and look. You know. God is not that way. You see, if you found the Ark, people say, oh yeah, well, I believe. God requires us to believe without that. We're to believe in things that we can't see or put our hand on. But we do feel it within our being. That's what God expects of us. And, you know, I'm 64. And on the backside of this deal. But I think about it a lot. You know, I think, you know, I don't fear for myself. You know, I'm just the type of person that I've been afraid once or twice, but not much. I didn't have much fear. But I fear for my family, my children, my grandchildren. I really have a fear for what this world is like, or what it will be until Christ returns. When Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, then things will be like it's supposed to be, the way it was originally planned. You know, I've seen so much strife, and if people read the Bible carefully, it wouldn't be there. You know, in our country, in our society, we've had, you know, men and women at each other's throat, this, that, and other. But if you ever listen, when God said, God created man, created them both male and female. He talks to man, he's not talking about a male gender. He's talking about the human race. He created them equal. Not one above the other. But you have to read it carefully. You got to read exactly what it says. And, you know, the established religion at the time of Christ in the Jewish state, you had the Pharisees and Sadducees being made up, the Sanhedrin. What did Jesus condemn them for more than anything else? As trying to pass off the laws of man as the laws of God. And that's what still causes strife in the world today. Still trying to pass off God's law or man's ways for God's ways. And then we're not the same. We are just not the same. God in his perfection is the correct way. My way, if I'm a friend of God, it might be close, but I can't say much more than that. You know that I see things happen and I feel hatred that wells up with inside of me. It's human nature. But God can also remove it. And God understands that. You see, if I'm hurt or my family hurt, I get angry. You get angry. That's a natural reaction. But we don't want to dwell and stay there on it and destroy our own self. But you see that Jesus, when he sets his kingdom, every one of us will be perfect. You know, and I think about, you know, I can't speak for other, you know, it's easy to point fingers, you know, but in this, you can't. I can't. I'm going to speak for myself. See, I know it takes a lot of work for me to be perfect. Because I might fool everybody in the world. The guy that I look at in the mirror, I can't fool him. You see, when I look in that mirror, I know I can fool my fellow man. I can't fool myself. Look in that mirror, look straight in, you know what you are. And I know that I'm imperfect. And until God comes, I will be. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, this is a thing that took me a long time. I thought about this a long time. You know, it was some pretty hard things. God did this, killing people, you know. And Jesus came, and Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant. Because we've been doing things. Why would he want to make? Because we've been doing things wrong. And he was careful to tell people, if you think about it, you know, the parable, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. Both will burst and you lose the old and the new. You lose everything. He said, this is a new covenant. this is the way from now on things are to be done. But many times we still want to go back this eye for an eye. Jesus said, that's not the right way. The way is to turn another cheek. I think that he gives us a promise in this, in spite of all the dangers that seem to be thrown upon us from this gospel. See, he's talking about this generation of people. Those guys thought he was talking about them, but he was talking about the generation that was alive when the new age begins. Is that us? I kind of think so. I can't say that. But the feeling I have is we're in that generation. But the promise is that his word will be spread to the entire world. No place will be left out. No matter what happens, God will prevail. He's already said. And that's a promise that we all have. You know that we pray as we pray for each other. That's what we should do. We all need prayer. You know, all of us have hard times in life. Different things. Some monetary, some health, some children, other things. But they're real, just as real as they can be. And Christ is the answer. He is the answer to there. He's the answer for those things. And I'd like to leave you with this, that as we live, we pray for one another and uphold each other. I think that God will smile upon us. Jesus will be with us through the Holy Spirit. And remember, anything you ask the Spirit of truth, God for it. It'll be there. I don't, you know, he knows that there's a lot of people, I mean really smart people, that are trying to have their way. But there's one way, you know. That's the way it is. I can't help it. That is the way. And as Jesus said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no other comes to the Father but him, by him. And if we remember that, I think we'll be in good shape. I thank you.